sack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins. I'm the broker of Movers Real Estate Company, and I lead the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. Wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas to start with. Do you want to have hot chocolate today? Just go by and just grab a cup of hot chocolate. I'm going to give you a place to do that today, and that is the office of Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage on Hefner Road, just a long block or two east of Rockwell. So it's between James L. Dennis's The Light there on Rockwell, and then right after The Light, turn in, and you're going to see Dean Riddell's office. But first, you'll see a cute little cookie dough truck out there, right, Dean? Good morning, Dean Riddell.
Good morning,
SWBC Mortgage.
How are you?
Doing well. So at 11 o'clock?
11 to 2 o'clock today.
Uh-huh.
We are celebrating. It'll be a fun day. We're going to have it's a 10-year celebration of SWBC here in Oklahoma City.
Well, and congratulations on that. SWBC is not a new company,
right,
is it?
Right. No, they've been around 32 years.
Okay. But 10 years ago came to Oklahoma City.
Right.
Are they based out of Florida or Texas?
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Okay. Well, there you go. They're good Midwestern, Southwestern folk then, right?
Great people. Privately owned. There was 44, 45 offices across the country. And they came to Oklahoma City 10 years ago, grabbed hold of me, and here we go. So that's part of it. Part two of that, those we're going to have Santa and Mrs. Claus from 11 to 2 with cookie dough truck, hot chocolate, cider. It'll be a fun day. Free pictures for the kids and Santa.
Hey, did Santa, Mrs. Claus, did they fly in on their sleigh last night?
They did.
Okay,
I was kind of worried about that, but they made it to town yesterday, and they are ready to go.
Okay.
So the office is decorated. The
elves still at the North Pole working hard.
The elves are going crazy. So here we go, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
11, and the actual address of your office?
6611 West Hefner Road, Suite B. So
you'll find it.
You'll see it.
It'll be easy to find today. There's just three office buildings there, aren't there?
Correct, and we're down on the east end.
Okay.
You mentioned the intersection at James L. Dennis. That was an old Integris building that's now closed down. So there will be parking in that facility. There'll be parking in front of our facility. Whatever's best, it'll be a good time.
Okay. Well, that's the fun stuff. How about we get to the meat and potatoes of the mortgage business? And because today we're going to talk about mortgage insurance and why you need it. You know, when you buy a house, you got to buy a lot of insurance. You got to buy house insurance, you know, homeowner's insurance, mm-hmm. to insure your building, mm-hmm. your structure and the appurtenances, the fences and such. And then you've got to buy title insurance to ensure you get clear title.
Right.
And then you got to buy mortgage insurance. Now, title insurance is a one-time thing. You pay for it once, and you're done for the time that you own your property. Now, if you refi, you're going to have to reinsure your new mortgage company.
Right.
But you are insured on your owner's policy for the time that you own the property. And then homeowner's insurance, you do pay a year up front. Then you pay 1/12 into your escrow account each month,
right,
until it's due again, and then it's paid from your escrow account. How often can you change insurance companies, Dean?
You know, the insurance is in the consumer's hands. They can make that change anytime. Most people, there's two things that I see on my end, because, you know, one thing with SWBC, we service our loans. So I field a lot of phone calls from clients whose payments are going up. Hey, I need to refinance. No, you really don't. Have you checked on your insurance? Insurance changes annually, can be changed at any time through that 12-month cycle. But amazingly, people, I'm going to say it, 70, 80%, don't keep up with their renewal of their homeowner's insurance. Because how that works, if their insurance comes up for renewal on January 15th, the consumer gets that notification early December, and we're going to pay it at when we get that renewal statement. That'll be early January. So the homeowner has the opportunity to make a change, but 70% don't open that document from ABC Insurance Company and look at their new premium and then compare it to where it was 12 months ago. And they default with it's in my mortgage payment. I'm not going to worry about it. My payment's going to adjust. Well, a couple of years of doing that, your payment may be $200-$300 higher it was when you started, but it's under your control if you keep up with that insurance premium annually.
Right. And in your payment also is taxes.
Yep.
And so 1/12 of your anticipated taxes go into your escrow account. So if your taxes go up by $200 a year and your insurance goes up by $160 in a year, your payment, that's mm-hmm. $360. Yep. So your payment's going to go up by $30 a month.
Easily.
So you can change that. Now, what about mortgage insurance? Mortgage insurance is different depending on your loan, right?
Mortgage insurance is different. So in the conventional loan world, everyone understands PMI. In the FHA world, which is private mortgage insurance, on the FHA side of it, it's MIP.
Mortgage insurance
premium.
Premium, okay.
And it serves the same purpose, and there's no benefit to the consumer. It is required by virtue of the type of loan they're doing and or the amount they put down for down payment.
So if you borrow 80%, if you borrow 80% of your home mortgage, I mean your home amount.
Purchase price.
Okay. So you get a $200,000 house, you put down $40,000.
Right.
And set up your escrow accounts, which will cost a little bit more.
Right.
And then pay your closing costs, which will cost a little bit more. So you're talking about a $4,800 investment or so.
$48,000.
Yeah. And then you don't have to pay mortgage insurance.
In a conventional loan, you're correct.
Yeah.
See, and then that's the part that, this is where credit scoring, we've kind of talked in the past when you've had me on. Credit scoring is a part of life, and that can dictate which direction someone can go, has to go with their financing. So in a conventional world, putting 20% down, there is no mortgage insurance. In an FHA loan, it's a different dynamic. You still have mortgage insurance on an FHA loan.
Well, and it's different on VA,
mm-hmm.
And then it gets a little bit more complicated if you decide that you've got a high enough credit score on conventional and you want to eliminate your mortgage insurance, mm-hmm. but you still need to borrow more money. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. So if you've ever wondered how to remove your PMI, private mortgage insurance, so you don't have to pay that anymore, or how to eliminate it when you purchase a home, but you don't have 20% down, you need to stay tuned because we're going to return with more of Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, and Becky Ivins, Movers Real Estate, right after this break on News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. And I'm here with Dean Riddell, and we're talking about mortgage insurance. To insure your lender, you pay the premium, and it insures your lender against your default. So who wants to pay that, Dean?
It is a sore subject with many people. PMI is something that, like I said, people understand that, but they don't understand that FHA, MIP, it's the same purpose. but it's to protect the lender in the event of default 2 years, 3 years, 10 years down the road.
Right. And what does the PMI company do? What does that insurance policy do in the event someone defaults?
So, well, this could get deep. So, we close a loan today that requires mortgage insurance. A customer bought a $200,000 house. They put 5% down. The consumer has PMI that they perform on the loan for 24 months. So,
Lose their job.
Unfortunately, you know, things go south. So when a lender closes a loan, conventional loan, I would venture to say 80 to 90% of all conventional loans closed across the country are owned by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So kind of remember that. Because what people think is SWBC is foreclosing their property today or yesterday. We went to sheriff's sale. We're going to acquire it back. Well, chances are, if it's a conventional loan, Fannie Mae is going to acquire that property back. We're the servicing agent for Fannie Mae. We perform the foreclosure. We acquire the property. We convey the property back to Fannie Mae. This is where the PMI piece comes back around. Fannie Mae is protected because when the homeowner purchased and put 5% down, we secured PMI.
Let's use our $200,000. Okay, so the homeowner put down $10,000, which is 5%. So there's a mortgage on that property for $190,000. And after 2 years, there's still going to be a mortgage on that property for close to that.
Right. And so let's say the principal's down to 187. We foreclose the property today. We acquire costs. There's delinquent interest. So when we acquire that property, that total indebtedness may be $200,000 again.
Pretty easily.
Seriously. Because when you wrap up delinquent interest, foreclosing the state of Oklahoma, property preservation costs, winterization costs, and things go on. So we acquire that property for $200,000. Now the home's maybe worth $180,000 because the consumer didn't care for it. They were losing their home.
Well, they didn't have the money. They lost their job, Dean.
They lost their job. So in essence, we foreclose the property on behalf of Fannie Mae. We convey that property to Fannie Mae. That in turn becomes what's called a Fannie Mae REO. But in essence, that PMI company is paying, you know, typically a 25-30% of total indebtedness. So now you're back to that $200,000 indebtedness.
Right.
Because they owed $187,000. We had to incur $13,000 worth of delinquent interest and costs to acquire the property back.
Right.
Now they're back to kind of what they purchased the home for. So that PMI company, pays Fannie Mae that PMI claim of 25-30% of that total indebtedness. Fannie Mae acquires the property because we conveyed it to them by virtue of the sheriff's sale, and say the home is worth $170,000, but the PMI company is, in essence, narrowing that loss that Fannie Mae is going to have by acquiring and reselling the property.
Well, even if you're able to sell it for $200,000 again, which typically a foreclosed property is not in the same condition as a homeowner property, not as in as good a condition.
Right.
It also, a foreclosed property has most often been vacant for several months.
Yeah.
And without the humidity of a family living in a home, things start to happen to a home.
Great point.
And, I mean, too little and too much humidity do terrible things to properties, right? but even if you sold it for $200,000, you've got typically about 8-9% selling expense. Most of the time, you've got to pay a real estate company 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to pay for some abstracting and your documentary stamps and the closing cost of selling a property. Then you usually have to pay part of the buyer's closing cost in the current times right now, 2019, there's an average of $5,000 paid on 91% of the loans that occur. And that is close. What that really means is the buyer's financing in $5,000 of the closing cost.
Right.
If they offer you, like we got an offer yesterday on a property, and $125,000 came in at list price, and we get that a lot. And but they wanted $5,000 in closing costs. So when I call my seller, I always say, Mr. Seller, great news. We got an offer on your property. It's in your email, along with a cost sheet that reflects your estimated net and all the charges involved so that you'll know what you're going to walk away with. They've offered you $120,000. Now, when you see the offer, it's going to say $125,000, but they're really financing in $5,000 of their closing cost. So they're saying they're giving you that, but then they're getting it back in closing cost. So your offer to you is $120,000, and then the cost sheet's going to reflect that. So there's money there that is coming out of that $200,000, mm-hmm. even if we sell it for $200,000. So there's a loss that the mortgage company, mm-hmm. the mortgage insurance company, must pay.
Right. And you touched on it. I mean, do the math with me real quick, because you touched on the seller's expense. But if that unpaid balance 24 months from now is down to 187, mm-hmm. and there's $13,000 worth of delinquent interest, property preservation costs. So at the date of share of sale or confirmation of sale, the total indebtedness is $200,000. Now Fannie Mae has acquired a property that chances are has been abused a little bit, neglected.
It's not going to sell for as much.
And so, but Fannie Mae at that point has to invest money into that home.
Well, they have to preserve it.
To get it ready to sell.
Uh-huh.
And that may be putting ceiling fans back in the house, replacing the dishwasher that was taken. And so that Fannie Mae's exposure may be a $220,000 number. But the PMI company is paying that PMI claim off that total indebtedness, which was $200,000 before Fannie Mae spent the money to preserve the property.
Or $190,000, right? Yeah. Because they put 5% down.
Yeah, but you've ramped it back up with, you know, they paid their loan down to $187,000, then they defaulted, took 2 years to, or a year to foreclose.
So the mortgage insurance company pays
off total indebtedness.
Off total indebtedness.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I learned something today.
Yeah.
I like it. We just were talking on the break about how Dean and I have both been around a long time, but we do not claim to know it all,
no.
do we?
No.
We know a lot.
We've seen a lot, been amazed by a lot, but we haven't seen it all.
Right.
Yeah.
And we love learning the new things, mm-hmm. and to get deeper into our business and kind of understand it on a different level. So if you want to eliminate mortgage insurance and not pay it, you kind of have three choices. You can put 20% down on a conventional loan. You can be a veteran and get a VA loan. There is no mortgage insurance on that, right?
Correct.
That's the guarantee, is that instead of you paying a company to insure against your default, the Veterans Administration guarantees that loan that you're going to pay it, or else they're going to make the lender whole on that.
Correct.
Okay. And what's the other choice?
Well, you mean the third loan type is FHA.
Well, but you can't eliminate it FHA.
No, you can't eliminate that.
But you could, on a conventional loan.
So, and I'm gonna scale that back, peel it back just a little bit. So on a conventional loan, you can put 20% down to avoid PMI. Option two is, and it's all about the consumer and their budget, if you put 5%, 10% down, 15% down, you're going to pay PMI regardless. Your options become, is it going to be a monthly expense, or can I do what's called, you know, in essence, upfront PMI? And so upfront PMI is, I'm going to go back to your $200,000 analogy. You take a $200,000 purchase price, a consumer puts 5% down, they're financing 190, and say they have a credit score. We've talked about credit score in the past. Say their credit score is middle score is 720 and greater. You take that amount financed of 190, just as a barometer, you know, if you're at home and you're playing with upfront PMI, is you take that 190 times around 2%, maybe 2.15%, so it's a $3,800 number. When you put your 5% down, $10,000, and you pay that PMI of $3,800-ish, you have no PMI in your monthly payment. Literally from the start, from the get-go, it's gone.
And PMI in that monthly payment can be sizable. We're going to break this down just a little bit more and talk about this, because this is how you can save real money over the long haul. Join us right after the news on News Radio 1000 KTOK, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are going to get right to it. We've got a lot to talk about. Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway. Hey! Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do the smallest repair or replace your whole roof, put new underlayment on, put new drip edge. They don't leave anything out. Okay. Robbins Roofing is 728-3700. They have roofed so many homes for me. I think 900 or something. I don't know. Just a whole bunch of loans, homes that they have put roofs on. Our word today, concept more than a word, but it's mortgage insurance, also known as mortgage guarantee or mortgage loan insurance. It's an insurance policy that compensates the lenders or the investor for losses due to the default of a mortgage. So mortgage insurance can either be public or private, depending upon the insurer. So that is our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. The mortgage insurance protects the lender and the investor against default. That brings up another whole thing, Dean. You know, sometimes the lender will, more broker than a lender. And the difference between a mortgage broker and a mortgage lender?
Well, the lender is the source. The lender has the funds, the underwriting capacity, it's their decision, it's their control. And that mortgage broker is kind of the middleman between the consumer and the lender, who is taking the consumer's information and facilitating it to a lender to see who they're going to place that loan with.
Well, let's do that one more time. So, because I was like zoning out there, and maybe a listener was zoning out too. Listeners, did you hear that? Do you want to ask Dean a question? It is 840-1000 is our listener line number. Just go ahead and give us a call here, and we can answer your questions as to things like how to avoid paying private mortgage insurance, PMI, how to get rid of it once you have it. So let's explain that one more time.
So in this world we live in, we have mortgage brokers and we have mortgage lenders. So a lender is like your bank. So when you go finance a car, the bank has the money. It's their decision-making process. It's their funds. It's their control. In the mortgage world, it's the same principle. When a consumer comes with SWBC, we are the lender. It's our money, our underwriting, our staff, our processing, our product. We are in control of that file, that transaction. It's our decision. When you are dealing with a mortgage broker, it's that middle tier between the consumer and the lender. So that mortgage broker is acting in the capacity of gathering the information from the consumer, finding the right product that's best for them. It's not their money. It's not their product. It's not their pricing. But they are in turn, going to sell that loan, place that loan with a lender who will ultimately make the financial decision, the underwriting decision. It's the lender they're dealing with.
So that's mortgage brokers have a place in this world, But there's another layer of approval that you have to go through. Sometimes a mortgage broker is going to say, well, I've got to check with another investor. The investor I sent it to for approval is not approving it. But I've got this other company over here that I think we might get this through.
Right.
Now, what I like about working with you and why you're I always say Dean's my favorite. Why is Dean my favorite? Because he will interview enough upfront to know whether we're going to meet a stumbling block in the middle. And if we are, he'll say, well, we've got a pretty good chance of getting this through, but we've got to satisfy this one requirement. This is outside the box. It doesn't check all the boxes. It checks 8 of the 9 boxes. So we're going to have a letter of explanation as to why this person was without a job for 4 months in the middle. Like, okay, I'm going to take a granddaughter, for instance, because she's about to come to you for a home loan, okay? She went to school. She's has worked now for a year in her profession. Works on a commission, though. Employee working on a commission. But
salary?
No.
Okay, straight commission. Straight commission.
However, she had a salary for a while, now is on commission because it's a better deal for her. However, in the middle of the school and in the between school and work, she was without work or school for a period of like 3 months and 4 months due to a medical incident, severe medical incident. So let's just say she'd been on her job 2.5 years. And first 6 months was, because I know the answer now is she can't get a home loan on a commission for a year.
Right.
You have to have a longer, that's self-employed pretty much. So you have to have a longer history than that. But let's just say she's been on her job 2.5 years. First 6 months was salary. And then you go, she does hair. So then the next 2 years is commission. Consistently going up each month. Good enough to buy a little house, right?
Right.
But she was in the middle of that first 6 months, she had to be out of work and didn't get a paycheck. So what happens? It's not the normal, is it?
Right. But you got, you know, the parameters and the regulations give you the ability to document around circumstances. Excuse me. And this is where consistency of the lender, you know, I use my underwriter as an example. She and I have worked together for probably 12 years. So when I have oddballs in lending, we try to fit everyone into a box. So when I've got one that's got a foot outside the box, on the front end, as I meet with people, I'm able to get the information that Becky just mentioned. It's invaluable. I'm able to go to my underwriter and say, this is what we have. We got a foot outside the box. She was on the job for 2.5 years. There was a gap of 3 or 4 months due to medical. What do we need to do to document it to bring that situation back into the box? And in all honesty, that's where the value of the lender and the communication and the openness comes into play, because that doesn't bother me.
But what happens if you are a mortgage broker and you've got to go to an investor?
That's where
most investors don't let you have, hey, that you can get a toe outside the box and they're going to charge a little bit more money for the loan.
Right.
But our goal when we bring somebody to you is to get what we call a conforming mortgage.
Yep.
And that is a good interest rate.
Right.
It's not having to pay a premium interest rate, a higher interest rate, because both feet aren't in the box.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So private mortgage insurance also has to be underwritten, doesn't it?
Well, there is. It's risk, credit risk based driven. So, but the PMI company has the same ability to ask those questions, depending upon, and Becky, a lot of it goes back to credit score too, because it does paint a picture of discipline. But if the file has a foot outside the box and we're doing a conventional loan, 5% down, and there's a gap, a PMI company has every bit the right to question.
Because if you default, if you have that gap again and can't make your payment.
They're insuring the loan. They're insuring you. So if they don't ask those questions, they're really missing the boat. They
need to. It would be like someone saying, oh, yeah, I'll give you $1 million life insurance policy. I know you've got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Right. Well, no, that's a risk. Yep. You're not going to get that.
So they have every right to ask those questions. Whereas if you're dealing with in a mortgage broker or in a bank environment where they don't have the background, that's where you lose those. It's the foot's outside the box. I mean, there's a bank credit union here locally, and I'm telling you, if that foot is not even outside the box, if it doesn't fit a cookie-clean environment, they send them to me. And those are great performing loans each and every month. It's just that their credit union restrictions are so tight.
Right.
There's a ton of people that can buy a house that can't use them because of their restrictions that we're able to do every day that are easy.
So, okay, so we've got mortgage insurance and we don't want to keep it. Avoiding it. You have to be a veteran to get a VA and get a VA loan. Have veteran eligibility, right?
Right.
And to get a VA loan, you don't have mortgage insurance then.
And your payment at all. Yep. There is no PMI.
FHA, you're always going to have it.
Right. Yeah, and let's real quickly touch on that, because back when you and I started in this industry up until about 8-9 years ago,
right,
on an FHA loan, because I get this question a lot, on an FHA loan, you have your 3.5% down. Back then it was 3. And in the old days, it went away when your balance reached 78%.
Right.
Housing collapse happens. Regulators get involved. The dynamics have changed today, because this is a question I commonly get. So if I put 20% down now, and let's say they have a 620 score, which is not on the high end, or a 618 score, less than 620, because that's Fannie Mae's threshold, they're going to have mortgage insurance on that loan for the life of the loan.
Right.
So scale that back a little bit more. They put 3.5% down today. 6 months from now, they inherit $50,000, and they want to put it all down.
They're still going to have MIP.
You're still going to have an FHA loan. Now, and then your third option was conventional.
And conventional, you can just buy it up front, usually for about 2.15% of your loan amount.
All depends on credit score, but that's a number I use all the time. If someone doesn't know their score, I'll use a 2% or 2.15. So use that analogy. They were financing 190, but they've got a 660 score.
Yeah.
Now that upfront premium may be 3.5%. So it's all that credit score ties back to it.
Right. Well, we've got a lot more, and particularly, how do you get rid of PMI? Yeah. Once you have it, how do you get rid of it? We're going to return with that information and our smoking hot deals right after this break. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and contact me. I'm just full of information, and I'm happy to share. I've got great friends I will introduce you to. Dean Riddell is one of those, and he is with SWBC Mortgage and is my guest today. And, Dean, when you are on the air, you're licensed, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're required to give your number, right?
NMLS number 196895.
There you go. We are now in compliance. I am not required to give my number, but I will. It's 47388. BeckyIvins.com. You're going to find Becky's favorites, which is going to include Dean Riddell, going to include Robbins Roofing, going to include Fence Masters, Tony Melman, going to include Hayes Electric, people I have worked with a lot, and I appreciate that they would come in and be a trusted vendor Because in real estate, we work with a lot of things other than houses. We got to work with repairs. We've got to hold it together.
Carpet cleaners.
Carpet cleaners.
Home inspectors, electricians, heat and air.
I mean, Tim Thane.
Yep.
Exceptional carpet. Cleaned your carpet this week, didn't he?
He did.
And does a fabulous job.
Incredible.
He named his company right. Exceptional. Yep. It is an exceptional job. So, Dean Riddell, we have been talking about mortgage insurance, and now we need to figure out how to get rid of it once you have it.
So, back on that conventional loan, they've got mortgage insurance. To avoid it on day one, you have to put 20% down. So the dynamics change once you put 5% down, and there's the biggest misunderstanding by most people is, so when I pay, you know, I purchased my home for $200, I put 5% down, so I financed $190. So when I get my loan amount down or unpaid balance down to $160, my PMI goes away. That's common. That's what people understand it to be, and that's part right, part wrong. So the way the regs are written is, when your balance reaches 80% of the lesser of the purchase price appraised value back when you purchased the home, so when your balance reaches 160, you have the ability to request that your PMI be canceled. So that means typically you're going to pay for an appraisal, not of your own selection. Whether your lender, the servicer, is going to give you the name of two or three appraisers. You call the appraiser, you set it up, you spend $500 on the appraisal for, in essence, and you in turn return that to our servicing company or whoever the servicer is that's collecting payments for that for your home. They make the decision based on that appraisal that you spent money for to make a decision of yes or no, we can cancel PMI. So the other logic to that, or the way the law is written, is once your balance reaches 78% of the lesser of purchase price appraised value when you purchased, that's when your PMI will cancel. You know, and there's some oddities there. You have to be current on your home. You can't have a late pay in the last 12 months. I mean, there's some onesies, twosies that you still have to adhere to. At 78% is your number. You avoid the $500 appraisal expense for a human to say, yeah, we can cancel it, or no, we can't. So what I commonly tell people to do is shoot for 78%. Not 80%, because 80, you're not out of the woods yet.
Okay. How about to avoid it up front, the single pay premium?
Yeah, upfront premium, because that's back to that 2%, 2.15, or whatever that number is. You're paying it up front. There really is no cancellation at that point. You've bared the expense up front. You know, I'm not running the race to get my loan amount down to 160 or 78%. Because in essence, I paid that expense up front.
Right.
I'm done. I'm done with PMI. I really don't care if it cancels, when it cancels. I've recognized my expense when I purchased a home, and I'm done.
Well.
And one other thing, too, that ties into this that people will remember, they all know what their home appraised for when they purchased. They don't know necessarily what the purchase price is. That's why I always say the lesser of your purchase price or appraised value. So if you paid $200,000 for the home and the appraisal came in at $220,000, praise God, you got a great deal. All your math falls off that $200,000.
Come see us 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock at 6611 North West Hefner Road, 6611 Hefner Road. Get your free pictures with Mr. and Mrs. Santa, your cider, your hot chocolate, your cookie dough, whatever it is you want. Dean Riddell's going to have it there at his 10th. Anniversary of being in Oklahoma City and business with SWBC. I thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.